got dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones, and wonder why we feel this way. Hey, how you been? It's been a while, and I'm just checking in. I miss the way things used to be back in 2017. Thank you.
people. They're everywhere. And whether or not people are your thing, God put us together for a reason. And he talks about it all throughout his word. From the very beginning, he said it's not good for man to be alone. And he started the first family. We need each other because just like iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. And we could all use a little sharpening. Together, we can carry each other's burdens when times get tough. We receive encouragement. We build one another up. And sometimes, we just need someone to be there and to listen. We can't do everything on our own, but maybe that's the point. In the body of Christ, you're part of a community. A group of people who all struggle, but are devoted to one another in love. Meeting together, serving each other, learning that everyone has their flaws, and reaching our cities with the message of grace. So today, we want to help you find your people and get you connected with the group. Because after all, we're designed by God to be better together.
Amen. Hey, welcome to church. Would you stand with us? As always, and we're going to have our vision statement up on the screen. So if this is your first time maybe joining us online or the first time coming into the sanctuary, this is a huge part of who we are as a church. So we're going to read it together. So read it with me. We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. Guys, what that means is none of us are perfect. So if you came in here expecting to find a bunch of perfect people, none of us are. We all need God's grace, and we're here, and that's what unites us. But we're going to go into a time of worship because he gives us his grace, and that makes him worthy of our praise. So let's pray, and then let's just invite the Lord here. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit who gives us his grace and truth and peace. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning to sing, to praise your name, to hear from your word. God, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts even now and through this worship time to just hear from you. May we walk away from this place today changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. like the rushing wind. Would you breathe within my heart? Through the raging storm, would you hold me in your arms? 'Cause I need you. How I need you. Draw me closer to your heart. I need your love like I
so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. Your heart. Your
face. We seek your face.
Show me your face.
Lord, we've come here today to worship you, to praise you. Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to become better aware of your presence. Thank you that your word says my presence goes with you and I'll give you rest. Lord, as we face the challenges and demands of life, remind us that in you we don't face them alone. God, I just thank you that you're here. You inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you that things are happening in the spirit realm. Things that your word says that you work for those who wait upon you. Lord, thank you that as we're just waiting upon you today, that you're at work behind the scenes. God, give us the ability to trust your timing. Give us the ability to trust your sovereignty when things are not going the way we would want. Help us to trust that you know better than us. God, thank you that you are a God of truth. You don't lie to us. You're also a God of grace. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anyone boast. Thank you that you are a prayer answering God. Thank you that you said, lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And with you, we can do all things. So God, just thank you for allowing us to be here together as a church family, to worship you, to be reminded that it's not about us, that we're not here to build our kingdom. We're here to build your eternal kingdom. And thank you that we all have a part of that. We all have a contribution to make. We love you, Lord. In a spirit of prayer, would you please be seated? Let us remember that prayer is talking to God, and I'm going to give you some prayer points to guide you to pray. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and favor with man. Let us pray. Lord, help us grow in every part of our lives, our minds, bodies, spirit, and relationships, not just in one area. Teach us to follow Jesus' example of balanced growth so we can live the full life you want for us. Let us pray. Next, we're going to pray to step out of denial and into the truth. Ephesians says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Let us pray. God, give us the courage to stop hiding and to bring our struggles into your light. We trust that when you reveal the truth, it's not to shame us, but to heal us. Let us pray. Let us pray to find our identity in Christ. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Let us pray. Father, help us to stop building our identity on what we do, what we have, or what others think of us. Remind us that we are your beloved children, fully loved before we prove anything. Let us pray. Would you now just take a moment and pray for Minnesota and just the turmoil and unrest in Minnesota? Just take a moment and pray. Lord, I lift up the turmoil and unrest in Minnesota. Please be with us and help us. I lift up Governor Walz and President Trump, that you would put people of righteousness around them. Guide these leaders with wisdom, discernment, and commitment to do what is right and healing for our land. Lord, I lift up those that are struggling with fear and anxiety right now, those who need peace. We ask that you would comfort and be near to them. We need your help. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God, change our hearts individually and collectively to be fully surrendered to you in all of our ways. Would you now join me in praying the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right, we're going to now look at our CCC news.
Good morning, CCC family. I'm your youth pastor, Pastor Owen, and I would just like to say, welcome to church. If this is your first, second, or third time coming to CCC, you'll be handed a Connect card on your way into the service. If you could just fill that out and turn that back into the welcome desk, you'll be given an awesome mug with some gifts inside. We're a very relational church, and we would just love the opportunity to get to know you, because you are here on purpose, because God has a purpose for you. Let's get into the news. So coming up this January, January 25th, our church will be hosting our annual membership meeting. So if you are a member of our church, this is a meeting for you where you can come. We can go over all the wins and celebrate 2025, but then also look to the future of what's going to happen at our church in 2026. So if you're a member and you'd love to be a part of that meeting, we would love to see you there. That is January 25th at noon. Also, our church is a very missions-minded church. And so this summer, we will be taking a group to Baja. This will be in June 6th through the 13th. I went to Baja last year, and it was just absolutely incredible. But if you're interested, the Baja registration is open. So if you want to find that, go to our website. Registration is open. It's for ages 15 and up. But yeah, please go. It is very awesome just to be on a mission trip and just to see what God's doing around the world. Also, if in the last few months, either you've come back to your faith, you've recently accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we will be hosting a baptism that is this February. So yes, if baptism is such an incredible way to publicly declare that Jesus has changed your life and he's the number one person in your life, we will be having a baptism class on the 15th, and our baptism service will be on the 22nd. So if that interests you, please get signed up on our website, baptism this February. It says in Luke that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So let our mission for 2026 being that we grow like Jesus in wisdom and in stature and growing in favor with God and man. Love you guys. Let's have a great Sunday.
Good morning, CCC. Your office manager, Caitlin, here with some exciting news. We are hiring for a part-time administrative assistant to come and work with me. So if you love organization, and if you have experience in graphic design and event planning, we'd love to hear from you. We will be accepting applications through February 4th, so head on over to our website or shoot me an email at caitlin@ccc-kasson.org for more information.
Would you stand and greet those around you and welcome them to church today? All right, so last week we started a new series on our book, The Four Keys to Mental Health. If you have not gotten your copy yet, Tammy and I are giving away a free copy to each family member. Each family. There is a table out there where we have some books if you haven't picked yours up yet. Now, one of the things that we've been trying to just kind of make really clear is that mental health is for everyone. If you have a body, you have physical health. And if you have a brain, you have mental health. And the question is not if you have mental health. The question is, what is your current state of mental health? And one of the goals of this series is that we could talk about these things. You know, Mr. Rogers used to say, if it's mentionable, it's manageable. In other words, if we can talk about it, if we can bring things out of the darkness into the light, that's where we find healing. Now, the book really starts off with a low point in my mental health journey, which was back in 2002. And I found myself, after planting the church about 4 years earlier, just in a very low place, really low place mentally, physically, spiritually, the whole thing. And I began this quest of trying to discover tools and principles. I filled notebooks. I read the Bible. I talked to experts. I was just, you know, in some ways, I felt like a person just treading water, just trying to keep my head above water. And after doing all of this research, and if you know me, you know, I love to study. I love to read. I love to research. One day it hit me that all that I had been learning could fit into a small Bible verse. It's Luke chapter 2. Verse 52, and it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." And what I discovered is that Jesus grew in four areas. He grew mentally in wisdom. He grew physically in stature. He grew spiritually favor with God. And he grew relationally favor with man. And here was my big aha moment, that if I wanted to be as mentally healthy as I could be. And let me remind you, you know, I've developed this attitude of, I'm taking care of me for you. I'm really no good as your pastor if I'm like just really beat down. And does that make sense? So I call it I'm taking care of me for you. So what I discovered is that if I wanted to grow in mental health, I had to incorporate all four of these things into my plan. There was a mental component, a physical, a spiritual, and a relational. And this was a quantum paradigm shift for me. It was kind of like, imagine getting new glasses and all of a sudden you can see clearer. Because before this, if someone would have come to me and said, Steve, I'm really struggling with anxiety, or I'm really struggling with stress or depression, I would have said, you need to pray and read the Bible more. Now, those are the most important things, and that's the spiritual key, right? But what about these other things? What about the physical component, the mental component, and the relational component? So that was my big breakthrough when I realized that to be as mentally and spiritually healthy as I could be and show up well for those that I love, I needed a plan that incorporated all of those four things, and we call them the four keys. All right? So this week, what we're going to be studying about is the spiritual key. And I want to just start off by asking you a question. Have you ever noticed how hard it is for us to see ourselves as we actually are? It's easy to see the faults and foibles of others, but it's hard for us to see ourselves as we actually are. I don't know if you ever had this experience, but you're driving down the road and you look at the side mirror there and no one's there. So you start going over and then all of a sudden you just hit someone and you're like, where were they? They were in your blind spot, right? And as humans, it's really easy for us to have blind spots and be totally oblivious to it and not see ourselves the way we actually are. So back in 2002, I was in this really low place mentally, and our church actually offered to give me a three-month sabbatical to get away and heal. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I'm not that bad. I mean, I'm fine. How many of you ever heard that? I'm fine. I can pull myself up by the bootstrap. And looking back now, what was underneath it was this, if I admit I'm depressed, I'm admitting weakness. And I don't want to admit that I'm weak. So I thought a better plan was to just ignore it. Kind of be like a ostrich, stick the head in the sand and ignore it and deny it. But that didn't make things better. It made them worse, much worse. And God used my wife to speak to me. One of the things I've learned is that when God speaks to me, it's usually through the voice of my wife. That's a joke, but it's kind of true, though, too. And I still remember I was down at Okoboji, Iowa, and that's a very special place to me. My mom and dad had a house there, and if you've ever been there, it's just such a beautiful place, the beautiful blue lakes, and you can hear people having fun on the water. And it was summer, so it was sunny, but inside I felt trapped in a barren cave. And I was trying to decide, do I take this sabbatical or not? Now, one of the reasons I was struggling with it is our little church, I mean, back then it was probably 50 people, was just really going through a season of upheaval. And it was filled with division, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. And I thought, you know, if I take my sabbatical, I'm abandoning them when they need me the most. And Tammy's like, well, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I'm fine. And she's like, no, you're not. And then she said something that I've never forgotten. She said, you can't even lead your own life right now. What makes you think you can lead a church? And when she said that, it was like the veil was lifted, and I began to acknowledge the truth of how I was actually doing. And I left the land of denial and went to the land of truth. And the good news is because I got out of denial and into the truth, I began down the road to recovery. Where are you living in denial today? It's so easy to dwell there. And it doesn't have to be with your mental health. It could be in your financial health. It could be a relationship. It could be spiritual health. There's just something about us as humans that have this strong denial reflux. I think it comes from our fallen humanity. In fact, in Jeremiah it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? In other words, when we're self-deceived, often we're the last ones to know it. That we can fall into this self-deception. We can fall into this land of denial. In fact, in The Attentive Life, Leighton Ford says, the thoughts of darkness are not usually the most welcome. We prefer the bright and the cheery. Kathleen Norris quotes a writer who said, the true legends of America are optimism and denial, yet moving out of denial into reality is essential. And everyone said, amen. Yet moving out of denial and into reality is essential. But you know what? It's also painful. Because the truth will set you free, but first it'll make you mad. But one of the things, a bone-deep belief that we need to understand is that the truth is always our friend in the long run. It may be hurtful right now, but it the long run, it is our friend. So that's my question to you. Where are you living in denial? Ephesians says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. See, why does God want us to bring things into the light? Not to shame us, but to heal us. Not to shame us, but to transform us. There's something about denial in the short term feels safer. But the truth is that it's dealing with reality in the long run where we find healing. Where do you need to step out of the land of denial into the land of truth? All right, so you're sitting there and you're like, okay, Steve, I'm going to acknowledge this blind spot. I'm going to get out of the land of denial. But then you think, I don't want anyone to know. I mean, I don't want others to think I'm imperfect. I mean, I don't want everyone to know my dirty laundry. And yes, you do need to be selective in who you share it with. But, you know, maybe you can relate to this family once. I was talking to them many years ago. And they had a pretty messy family, like most families are. And when they would go out in public, they would say to each other, put on the perfect family act. And then they would go out. And it's like, let's put on the perfect family act. So back in 2019, I went through a very difficult time in my marriage. And if you've been coming to our church for any length of time, you know that I've never been... I've shared with you my marriage struggles over the years. And Tammy and I have had a far from perfect marriage. In fact, one of the things, I was talking to someone once and they just said, their marriage, it's easy. That's never been our situation. Now, we're at a really good place right now. But we went through like 20 years of difficulties. And I tell people that opposites attract, and then they attack, and then they accept. And then they appreciate. And we were only in the attack phase for about 25 years. So some of you, you've been married 2 years and you're like, it's difficult. We only have 18 more years. No, I'm just kidding. But if I want to know what my wife is thinking, I think, what do I think about that? And then it's like, what is the exact opposite of that? And that's probably what she's thinking. And we are just so, I think God put us together to show that oil and water could coexist and even thrive. But the low point came back in 2019. We were actually out celebrating our anniversary, and she just seemed distant. And I remember, are you questioning our marriage? Yes. And my heart was filled with panic. Now, let me just say up front that it takes two to tango. It's not her fault we had marriage problems. It's not my fault. It's our fault. I had a part in this, so I would never want to blame her. In fact, that's one of the big things God showed me in that difficult time. It's so easy to get into the blame game, just blaming everyone else. So I just want to be very clear up front. I had a part in our marriage problems. So after about some talking and counseling, she actually moved out of the house for about a year. And one of the benefits of the pandemic is this was happening during the pandemic, and no one was in church anyway, so they didn't know. You know, it was kind of like, I'm kind of saying it funny, but it is, you know, if it was like normal times, and it's like, where's your wife? You know, but since the pandemic was going on, no one was here anyway, so I didn't have to deal with that. But the low point came when we met with a mediator to end our marriage. Now, I cannot tell you how much shame I felt. I mean, I just felt so ashamed. I'm a pastor and I'm dealing with these problems. Shame on you. You're a bad Christian. You're a bad pastor. But the Holy Spirit gave me the humility to start telling a few people. And there was a family in our church actually that heard about this retreat in Michigan called From Focus on the Family. And I went to Tammy and I said, would you go to this with me? And she said, no, I'm done. Well, I got together a group of about 20 people one Sunday up in the church loft. Some of you were there. And we prayed for my marriage. And this prayer meeting lasted about 2 hours. And the very next day, Tammy sent me a text and said, I'm willing to go to the retreat. God performed a miracle. And I am convinced that that prayer meeting saved my marriage. A few weeks later, we went to this marriage conference, and the whole momentum of our marriage changed. And we went from drifting away from each other to drifting towards one another. And about a year later, we renewed our vows in Cosmo, Mexico. Now, here's what I've thought. What if we wouldn't have had that prayer meeting? What if I wouldn't have told a few trusted people to pray for us? Would we still be married today? I don't know. But you know, one of the things that I talk about in the book is the victory of vulnerability. In other words, when we become vulnerable enough to share how we're actually doing with some trusted people, we can find help. In fact, the Bible says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confession, not suppression, is the answer. Now, again, of course, we need to be selective in who we share with, but one of the main messages of the book is it's okay not to be okay, just don't be not okay alone. Practice the value of vulnerability. Now, some of you are newer to our church and you're like, wow, that pastor really has problems. You're right. And one of the things I've said for 30 years is never put me on a pedestal, put me on your prayer list. Because I need the grace of Jesus just as much as you are do. And the other thing is we've tried to create a culture here at our church where we could embrace reality. That we don't have to come in here and act like we're perfect. Because did you know that by being here, you're actually saying, I'm imperfect, I need God's help, I need the grace of God? And I really think that's our uniqueness as a church, is that this is a safe place for people to share the realities of their lives. This is a safe place for people to say, I'm in process. This is a yes, we strive for holiness. Yes, we strive to obey the Lord. But we can also, this is also a place just for people to be honest, because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. All right, so you're out there and you're like, okay, I'm going to quit denying the truth. I'm going to practice the victory of vulnerability. But then you think, admitting reality is hard. And you know, some of us have been putting on an act for so long, it's hard to let go of the script. Let's face it, we can get comfortable with the facade. And facing the truth can be disorienting. So, if our lives are no longer built on that foundation, what do we build our lives on? So one of the things that I've alluded to is that one of the major contributing factors to my depression was that our church, if you would have known, 2002, was just going through a very difficult time. And there was some unresolved conflict. These two core families in our church went from overnight, they went from being like best friends to enemies. And one of the sides really just started to like try to build an alliance of people. And there was this circle of conflict that just spread. And I was, you know, very young and I didn't know how to deal with it. So my attempts to try to resolve this conflict made it worse. And our church was just dwindling away, and I remember thinking to myself, our church won't be around in 3 months. And since the church was falling apart, I was falling apart. And here's why. I had erroneously got my identity from the ministry. It would be like you getting your identity from your job or whatever. And since it wasn't going well, I wasn't doing well. And looking back, my core problem was that I got my identity from what I did, not from who I was in Jesus. I got my identity from what I did, not from my identity in Jesus. And this is very dangerous, because once the enemy, the devil, has a person deeply convinced of the lie that something or someone other than Jesus is the foundation of their life, he is open prey for the crippling pain of misbeliefs. Our lives hold meaning because God loves us and because we're his. Wow. That is, let me just read it again. It's so powerful. Once the enemy, the devil, has a person deeply convinced of the lie that something or someone other than Jesus Christ is the foundation of their life, they're open prey for the crippling pain. Our lives hold meaning because God loves us and because we're his. In other words, if we're building our life on anything other than Jesus, we're setting ourselves up for massive pain. Now, some of the things that we can build our life on instead of Jesus, I call them the identity traps. The first identity trap is this. Think if you can relate to any of these traps. I am how I look. Do you get your sense of worth and value from how you look? When you feel good, you look good. When you don't look good, you don't feel good. I am how my bank account says that I am. You get your self-worth from your net worth. Your scorecard is your bank account. Your big purchases are your life milestones. What about this one? I am what I've achieved. I get my identity from the trophies that I have, the accomplishments that I've had. For some, it's I am who others say that I am. In other words, I get my identity from you. I get my identity from others. Here's another one. I am what I've done in the past. My identity comes from my past. It comes from back then. Another one is I am my illness. Some people get their identity from their illness. Have you fallen into one of these identity traps? If so, you are setting yourself up for massive pain. So what's the biblical alternative? Well, in Matthew 3:13, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love and with whom I'm well pleased. Do you know, I think there's something about children that need to hear that from their fathers. This is my Son, whom I loved, with whom I'm well pleased. And I call it the ministry of affirmation. And here we see the Father affirming Jesus. And what's interesting is when the Father did this, when the Father affirmed Jesus, he had not done all the things he would later be remembered for. He hadn't gone to the cross. He hadn't walked on water. He hadn't fed the 5,000. He hadn't raised the dead. He hadn't healed a bunch of people. He hadn't cleared the temple. Yet that didn't matter. In his book, Transforming Leadership, Leighton Ford writes, Jesus affirmed his Father as the only source of his identity. Could you imagine if someone says, well, who are you? And you're like, instead of saying, I'm a librarian or I'm a janitor or I'm a doctor, could you imagine if you said, I'm the one Jesus loves. Jesus is my source of identity. Jesus is my firm foundation. Imagine if our core identity was not what we did, but who we were as God's child. So where do we go from here? I just want to encourage you, no matter what difficulty you may be facing, maybe it's mental health, maybe it's spiritual health, maybe it's a broken relationship, maybe it's all the conflict going on in our state. I just want to encourage you this week to practice this prayer. Lord, I can't. You can, and I trust you. Would you say that with me? Lord, I can't. You can, and I trust you. When we say I can't, first of all, we're admitting the challenge. We're moving out of denial. But we're also admitting we can't fix ourselves. And that is the core message of the gospel, is that we need the help of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we move from I can't to you can. And then we start to focus on how big the Lord is, and we quit focusing on our finiteness, and we focus on his infiniteness. I mean, he created the Rocky Mountains, the Pacific Ocean, the Milky Way. He can do all things. And then we say, I trust you. From this day forward, I'm moving out of the land of denial, and I'm choosing to trust in you, Lord. And I'm choosing to get my identity not from how I look, not from what I do, not from others. I'm getting my identity from who I am in you. Lord, I can't. You can. And I trust you. Father God, I just thank you for allowing us to be here today. God, thank you that thank you for truth. God, I just pray for anyone who's living in denial. God, maybe even today, that you would take the veils off so that they can see the truth. God, help us to embrace the victory of vulnerability, not to everyone, but to some trusted, safe people, that we can admit the truth and ask for help and prayer. But I pray that starting now, from this day forward, that you would loosen us. Some of us are in those traps. I am how I look. I am my bank account. I am my achievements. I am what other people... God, free us from those things, so that we may be able to say with confidence, I am who I am, says that I am. I am who God says that I am. And I am his beloved child. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We love you, Lord. Friends, if you would take out the card in front of you, there should be a card in front of you, and I was just so pleased to see all the sign-ups last week, but we want to give you one more opportunity. And by the way, a process group is the perfect place to practice vulnerability and to practice getting out of denial and to get your life rooted in Christ. But in front of you are just some groups. We have recovery groups, the kids and youth groups. We have some events coming up, Stretch and Coffee, Dimension Friends, Membership, Lego and Friends, Hobby Days, Game Night. If you turn over, we have all these groups of the Four Keys to Mental Health. There's one on Sunday morning, Sunday Women's Group at 6:30 tonight. There's a Monday night group, a Tuesday Women's Group, a Tuesday night group, a Wednesday night group, a Thursday night, a Thursday morning. We also have some other process groups, Living with Suicide Loss, Diving Deeper, Restore, Jesus and Women, Young Adults, Spanish Group. We have a men's challenge on Wednesday night and a men's group on Saturday night. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes. And if you haven't signed up yet, would you just consider, it's not too late. It's really not too late at all. Last week in the groups, it was mostly just kind of a introduction. So we're really getting into the rest of it this week. But just pray, is God asking you to sign up for any of these groups? I'm going to give you a few moments to do that.
Never let me go. say that I'm your friend, and you are my desire. And no one else will do, 'cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, Lord, help me find the way and bring me back to
now worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. And as the ushers come, if you could also put in those cards, that would be fantastic. But in Psalms 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Let us pray. Lord, we remember that everything belongs to you, our earth, our resources, our lives. Since you're the owner, we're only managers. We choose to give back to you with a thankful and trusting heart. Help us to give generously and faithfully, knowing that what we give was yours first. We ask this in your name. Amen. So the ushers will come in a few moments to receive your cards and your tithes and offerings. This week, we're going to be going through the spiritual key. So if you read the chapters under the spiritual key, the goal would be to read one chapter a day. And then at the end of each of the chapters, there's the Beyond the Book section. If you would please do that. And then we're going to talk about that in our small groups. We also have a group that is going to Cambodia to do a missions trip. And I'm going to invite those folks to come forward. And then we're just going to, as a church, pray over them. So if you're going on the Cambodia missions trip, would you come forward and just please be stand right there? These folks are going. It's amazing what God is doing in Cambodia. And I want us to stand, and if anyone feels comfortable coming forward and laying hands upon them, let us just pray over our team that is going to Cambodia. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling and sending this team. We recognize that they go not in their own strength, but in the authority of Jesus Christ. We ask for your divine protection over every step of this journey. Guide them, protect them from harm, illness, and discouragement. Cover them with the peace of Christ as they travel, and place your angels around them in every place they stay and serve. Lord, we ask for your provision, supplying every need according to your riches and glory, strength for the weary, wisdom for decisions, and unity among the team. Fill them with boldness to share the gospel and humility to serve with love and compassion. Prepare the hearts of those they will meet and open doors that no one can shut for your work to be done. Give them eyes to see where you're already at work and the courage to join you there. May your Holy Spirit guide every conversation, every act of service, every moment of ministry. Protect their families and churches back home. Give them peace and confidence as this team is sent out. We send them in faith, trusting that you will go before them, walking beside them, and bringing them home safely, all for your glory, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, we wanted to thank you all for worshiping with us. We'll have friends up here to pray with you if you would like to get some prayer. And again, just thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Have a great week.